This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, a year after U.S. authorities closed Backpage.com, it was the biggest website in the online sex for sale industry. We look at how the government is using technology in investigating websites that encourage prostitution and illicit activity. That's after these tech headlines. These days, some labor unions in New York are pushing to change state law to include employment protections for gig economy workers. This comes after the recent passage of a California bill that would classify workers, like drivers for Uber and Lyft, as employees rather than independent contractors. App-based workers are not covered by New York's wage and hour laws or by the state's workers' compensation and unemployment insurance. New York City's Taxi and Limousine Commission did, however, pass a series of regulations that guarantee drivers a minimum hourly take-home pay of $17.22 after expenses. Good news for those fearing automation at the workplace. A study from the Consumer Technology Association found that more than half of respondents say they don't anticipate their tech companies will displace workers due to automation. This is thanks to improvements in computer software, AI, or robotics. Yet, in cases when jobs are lost to tech, 68% of respondents say they will train and retain workers. In the group's annual Future of Work survey, it also identifies software development, data analytics, engineering, and AI as the most in-demand tech skills. The U.S. is now blacklisting three North Korean hacking groups allegedly run by the country's primary intelligence service. U.S. security officials and cyber experts say the groups hacked financial systems and critical infrastructure worldwide and are a rising threat to national security. North Korean officials didn't respond to a request for comment, but historically have denied accusations of engaging in malicious cyber activity. Follow the latest details as they unfold at WSJ.com. Coming up, a year after the Backpage.com scandal, a look at how the U.S. is taking on illicit websites. In April 2018, the website Backpage.com was shut down by U.S. law enforcement. It was, of course, accused of being a hub for prostitution and sex trafficking. As a result, federal legislation bans websites from internationally promoting prostitution or knowingly facilitating sex trafficking. But are sex for sale websites now going overseas where they believe they can't be touched? And how is the government taking on websites that encourage sexual activity? Joining us with more from our D.C. Bureau, Wall Street Journal reporter Lolita Clozell. Welcome.
Hi.
So since Backpage was shut down, a number of sex for sale websites have moved jurisdictions outside the U.S. If you wouldn't mind breaking down what's been going on a year later and how these sites in question have been operating since the big crackdown.
Right. So Backpage was a giant in the market, right? It was, the Amazon or, in terms of market share, everyone knew Backpage. So when it was shut down by U.S. authorities last year in April 2018, it left a huge gap in the market. And so there's a lot of competition to fill that gap. One is review type websites that are kind of like Yelp for either, massage parlors that tend to be more focused on those types of, sexual services, or escort advertisement websites. And within those categories, the websites that are dominating are all linked to the same person, who's a Swiss businessman named David Azzardo, who pioneered actually escort ad websites in Europe over the last decade. And so now authorities are focusing on those websites and that are basically trying to take over where Backpage left off.
So the three websites that you report about specifically, they're RubMaps, Eros, and Erotic Monkey. All three, as you write, are registered abroad outside the jurisdiction of U.S. law enforcement. Talk to me a little bit more about how they've been using this to their advantage.
Right. So the companies, they have a lot of the structures of those websites are offshore, either, in Switzerland or Cyprus. And so a website can, be based, they have bits and pieces all around the world, but still work for users in the U.S. And that's what a lot of these websites do because they were spooked by Backpage shutdown and then the passage of a law last year, days after actually Backpage came down, that gave more tools for law enforcement to go after the websites themselves and not just, the people, providing or posting ads for these services online. And so that spooked a lot of the U.S.-based websites, and so they started moving offshore.
Exactly, right? That proves to be a very important loophole.
Yeah, so they're partially offshore, but they're also using U.S.-based technology providers, and that's a way that law enforcement can have leverage to either halt their operations or, you know, investigate them. And so it all depends, obviously, on where the investigation goes and what kind of permission they get. But for a sophisticated website that has operations in various jurisdictions, U.S. law enforcement can typically find ways to go after these websites because they oftentimes will have technology providers based in the U.S. or other parts of their infrastructure based in the U.S., and through that, law enforcement can go after those websites.
This brings up the question that a lot of people are asking. How heavily should the government be trying to remove these websites? How is this question coming into play through your reporting? Is it?
You know, I think that that's been a question every time law enforcement goes after and targets these types of websites. There's a lot of sex workers who say that these websites give them a safe space for them to advertise their services and find clients online, and they can do their own vetting of these clients. So it's somewhat controversial whenever law enforcement targets these websites. Law enforcement typically likes to focus on the fact that whenever you can advertise for sexual services online, you can also advertise for human trafficking victims. And so typically those websites are also places where human traffickers can operate.
A year later, it seems like we're still grappling with how to monitor such illicit websites. It doesn't seem like a clear-cut answer as of right now.
Right. Prostitution is illegal, but, you know, a lot of people would agree that going after those websites over prostitution specifically isn't necessarily, you know, shouldn't necessarily be a priority of law enforcement. There are maybe more important things out there. But, you know, those websites also facilitate, you know, in some cases, human trafficking. And so a lot of advocates for legalizing prostitution would argue that if you legalize prostitution, then there might be, you know, less opportunities for human traffickers to use those websites because they're, you know, underground.
Wall Street Journal reporter Lolita Clozell, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
That will do it for this edition of the Tech News Briefing. From the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.